Hi, my name is Peter.
I'm the hero of this series, and this here by my side is Grayson, the comedic sidekick to this great adventure.
Okay, seriously, you need to get out this whole thing where I'm your sidekick. We're equals in the series.
Now, Grayson, we really shouldn't squabble. It'll look like we lack any form of unification.
What? When did you start using big words like that? Can someone remind me why I ever agreed to go on this adventure with you?
Because you wanted to ride on the coattails of my success.
Oh, God, you know what? It's just taking everything I've got not to crack you over the head with my sword. Will you just get on with the series?
You're listening to the only Neverwinter Nights podcast.
This is so exciting. Wow, where to begin?
It's the Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The only podcast for the Neverwinter Nights game series, bringing you news, interviews, reviews, and more for the community by the community. You can find us online at neverwinternightspodcast.com. And now, on to the show.
Hey, this is Trey, a.k.a. Ashikon Zelo, and we kick rocks.
And hi, this is Shauna, a.k.a. Cat Dragonstar, and this is episode 117 of the only Neverwinter Nights community podcast.
Hey, yeah, the podcast all about Neverwinter Nights series of role-playing games. So, hey, Shauna, tonight we're going to have on the show Thomas Logue and Travis Smith from Neverending Nights. Welcome, guys.
Welcome, gentlemen.
Just real quick, it's Travis Richards.
You did the same thing that I was joking. I was joking. I really knew it was Travis Richards.
Oh, okay.
Well, it's even better. And I remember it's even better because
carry on.
No. In one of the episodes, didn't y'all accidentally make it wrong in the credits?
Yeah, and that's... It was me who accidentally did it like three or four times.
Anyway, I remember seeing that, so I thought I'd throw that in at the beginning. And
sorry, carry on.
See if y'all got that. So no, we really have Travis Richards and Thomas Logue with us.
Hi.
From the Neverending Nights. So, hey, the Neverending Nights is a very funny machinima, all made using the NWN tool set. And in the story, you get to follow the adventures and mishaps of Grayson, Peter the Ranger, and Paul the Dwarf. They've published 42 episodes and 2 seasons so far. And I tell you what, this thing had me rolling in the floor, Shauna.
Oh, I have not seen all of the episodes. I admit, mea culpa. I'm sorry. But I've seen a lot of them, and you're right. You just kind of sit there and watch them, and they're pretty soon it's like, okay, well, oh, I've seen that. I've seen that in game. Oh, dear.
What I liked the most was, you know, they weren't too long. They were, you know, 3 or 4 minutes. Maybe, you know, the longest one was probably 10 minutes, but they were just short enough to keep your attention and, you know, not lose your attention, I guess. And that's what I liked about them. You could sit there and watch 10 or 12 at once. And anyway, that's how I did it.
Well, you know, I think what impresses me about Neverending Nights is that as a builder, I have some vague idea of what goes into this, but the fact that they're putting it into a movie is even more amazing. So I think that and getting the hand gestures is like, I can't even do that when I'm trying to do it. How did they do that? So it's very impressive work, gentlemen.
Yeah, so later in the show, we're going to get to hear from these two guys and find out exactly how they do some of that.
Because we actually have them in the studio with us tonight.
Yes.
So this is...
Say hello, guys.
Hello.
Hi.
Well, hey, I appreciate you guys coming and being on the show with us. This is going to be fun, I think.
Oh,
I hope so. I mean, I am totally floored and honored. Like I told Travis, I'm totally floored. This is awesome.
I think it's the other way around. Yeah.
So I think you guys have mentioned me now. This is the third episode in a row.
Yeah, it would be.
I'm honored.
Well, you know, it's your fault because you posted it on the vault. I merely read it.
Well, I don't know how many of our episodes y'all have been able to listen to. I know we have a lot of those out there. But one of the things that I've always tried to do since we started was try to highlight music as well as, you know, everything else that we highlight. So whenever we see new music out there, we always like to make notice of it.
And Travis, is awesome at music. The dude is a freaking genius.
And of course, yeah, and of course, I'm always looking for music to, you know, for the backgrounds of the interviews and things.
Well,
that
I want
do,
you
so.
To, you know, I am a big dwarf player, always have been. So, I love Hammer a lot, but you know what? The one that I really liked the most was the Goblin theme. I don't know why, but I just kind of sat there and I was, you know, bopping along and I can't keep rhythm, so that's a scary thing.
I actually wrote that one during English class. So,
well, I'm glad we're doing something constructive in English class, Travis. So.
Yeah, my college tuition hard at work.
So you know what? It's weird because it's like that's and Neverending Nights does best when you're not paying attention, because Neverending Nights actually started during a safety meeting at my work. That's how we started brainstorming.
That's funny.
Next time safety, I'm standing, and next time I'm standing in front of a bunch of lawyers, I may keep that in mind.
So before we do that, though, let's do a couple of news items. If you remember last episode, and maybe even the episode before that, we talked about the NWN1 premium modules being removed from the BioWare stores, and I said in the last episode that I would try getting in contact with our Atari contact, and I guess she's either ignoring my emails or she didn't get my email. So I have not heard from her as of yet. So we're still not sure.
Or she's buried under the 100,000 other emails that have already, you know, swamped her system and dumped it into the blue screen of death.
So yeah, so we're still not sure whether Atari is going to offer the premium modules again ever, which is kind of sad if they don't.
It's very true.
Thomas or Travis, had y'all heard about that?
I had actually heard about it with the premium modules.
Yep, sad.
Have y'all played through those?
I've only got one of them.
It doesn't fit my college budget.
Okay. Besides, we make Travis work and keep making music, so he doesn't get a lot of free time.
Oh, I see. Keep him in the music dungeon?
Exactly.
Help.
Do you ever feed him?
You know, sugar to basically keep him going and caffeine, but that's about it.
Okay, well, that's all you need. I don't have any problems with that. Do you, Trey?
No.
Yeah, see,
no,
that, we're all cool. In agreement here. Feed Travis sugar and caffeine periodically, not too much so that he doesn't get used to it.
But exactly.
Remember, a dragon always knows.
That's right. A dragon always knows.
I feel so loved.
You are. You know you are.
That's right, because if they didn't love you, they would keep the caffeine.
Exactly. We'd just give you the sugar. Maybe some pepper-flavored salt, and that's it. That's it.
Oh, my gosh, that had me rolling. also in the news, it looks like NWN2 and Storm of Zaheer are still making the top 10 on the direct-to-drive top 10 list. Like, I think NWN2 is number 4 still, and Storm of Zaheer is still number 7. That's kind of cool.
That's pretty impressive because it's up there in some very hefty competition, like Assassin's Creed and Champions Online and the new Ion game. So that's, you know, it's pretty impressive. Consider, you know, people talk about the game that Neverwinter Nights 2 not being very successful, but, you know, it's been 2 years now. And it's still in the top 10 at direct-to-drive. And so, you know, you can't knock that. It's got to make
that's cool.
Atari fairly happy.
Also got to play some of Storm of Zaheer lately while I've been on vacation. And I'm really loving the Overland map.
Yeah, I haven't seen that yet because I'm still working through the original game. Yeah, the part of the problem of running a persistent world. But I've heard that Overland map is pretty neat.
Yeah, it is pretty cool. Any updates on the NWN Con 5 before we get to the interview?
Well, we've heard it's still going forward. We are still desperately looking for Neverwinter Nights 2 DMs to run something. We had there's at last check, I think Carvon said that there were still no Neverwinter Nights 2 games scheduled. And so if anybody out there who is involved in Neverwinter Nights 2 and would like to be involved in setting up a game, running a game, or playing a game, then go grab your DM and drag them out to schedule something. This is the con is happening over the Halloween weekend, so that's the 30th of and 31st of October and the 1st of November. There's lots of things being scheduled, and get out there and get in game and level up. Oh, no, wait a minute. I'm sorry.
No, that's the podcast.
That's the podcast. But, you know, there's the general drift there, I think.
Okay, so now let's get on to the interview with the Neverending Nights.
Hey.
Yeah?
You ever wonder why we're here?
Because my uncle runs the place and we're broke. You know, again.
No, I mean, why are we here? What's the purpose of our lives?
I'm guessing apparently to always be broke and mooch off my uncle?
Yeah, okay, that makes any sense. Not a very exciting reason, though.
Yeah, I know. We need to become, like, you know, heroes or something.
Ha! Heroes! Yeah, wouldn't that mean that's getting off our asses, exploring some old decrepit dungeon? It's probably infested with undead, dragons, and foul humanoid creatures.
Yeah, it does. That really doesn't sound all that safe.
Well, I mean, you're a ranger. You know, didn't you, like, live off the land, communicate with the wild, eat bushes, berries, and all of that sort of stuff?
What? Are you kidding me? That sounds entirely too dangerous. I mean, how do you find out which berries are poisonous or not? By eating them, and I wasn't about to do that just to figure out which ones are good for me.
So wait a minute, how did you become a ranger then?
Well, I camped in my uncle's backyard just about every night. You know, he's got dogs and things like that. A very nice assortment of rose bushes. Some of them have these little, like, thorns. I forgot what they're called, but yeah, it's a pretty big and cool backyard.
Barkeep! A drink for a weary traveler! We just rescued a fair maiden from the clutches of a tribe of barbaric trolls.
Against impossible odds, we prevailed, with no regard for our own life. For if we could not save her, our lives were not worth living, for we would be without honor.
That's pretty hardcore. That's what we need to do. We need to stop sitting here drinking. We need to get out there, find some evil, and vanquish it. We're tired of sitting here. I'm tired of mooching off your uncle. I'm tired of being a nobody. We have to make a change. We have to do it today.
So, order another round?
Yeah, if you don't mind.
All
right. Okay, welcome to the show tonight for our main interview, Thomas Logan, Travis Richards from the Neverending Nights. I believe Travis does a lot of the music, and Thomas is one of the actual characters in the ongoing show. I think this is in season 2 now. They've done 42 episodes of NWN Machinima video that you can actually go to their website and download and look at, as well as I believe you'll have a YouTube channel. Is that correct?
That is correct. We have a YouTube channel. If you go to YouTube and just do a search for Neverending Nights, all one word, it's usually one of the top hits. So get there, click subscribe.
And I've done that, by the way.
Good.
Watched all 42 episodes.
Awesome.
In 2 days.
Sorry for the lack of sleep.
But remember, he's on vacation this week.
That is true. There you go.
So, hey, guys, why don't y'all start out and introduce yourselves. And one of you tell us what Neverending Nights is all about. And then why don't one of you give us the history of Neverending Nights.
Travis, why don't you tell them what it's about? You can give them, like, a general idea, and I'll do the history, because I have a whole thing of footnotes of history, which will allow me to ramble for a moment.
Well, here in my little dungeon, I'm kind of secluded from the rest of the world, so I'm not exactly sure what it's all about. I guess it's all about, I guess, making a lot of gold, so that there's unlimited drinks for life, something along those lines.
That's most definitely the basic concept of our two would-be heroes.
Yeah. They're out trying to get as much gold as they can to open up their own bar. Is that correct?
Basically, their idea is basically to shortcut to become a hero, because they think if they become a hero, they get all kinds of money, and then they can just open up their own bar, and then they don't have to worry about a bar tab anymore, because then they just drink their own alcohol.
So, yeah, I don't know. That kind of sounds like the logic behind most heroes' reasoning.
Oh, well, yeah. And, you know, when you're two inexperienced heroes and you think the first thing we should do is kill a dragon, you know that they have a lot of common sense.
They haven't found my cave yet, so...
Not yet.
Not yet, but they're looking, and one of those other stupid dragons, you know, gives my, you know, mail address up.
Exactly. Go to this cave.
Is your cave down by Silver Lake by any chance?
I'm not telling.
Oh, that's great. So, Thomas, why don't you give us a little history of Never Ending Nights?
Easy for you to say.
Yeah.
There's where my edit will come in.
Yours will, but, you know, on everyone else, it won't.
You have the power.
Well, see, I almost said Never Winter.
You know what? Don't worry. Adam does that all the time, and he also calls BioWare Bungie. So when we had our meeting with Atari, and he called it Bungie,
no.
I was mortified.
Oh, man. That could have been bad.
At that point, you just almost want to go, I'm done. See you later.
Exactly. How did you cover that up? Did you just ignore it?
I laughed, and I said, will you stop saying that, or whatever. But I basically just laughed and tried to play it off and just tried to cover the fact that he had just really messed up.
Well, that was probably more subtle than walking over and taking the trash can, dumping the paper out of it, and putting it out of his head.
And putting it over his head and going, he won't talk anymore.
maybe just a hair more subtle.
That's great.
So to talk about Neverending Nights and like how it started, ironically, it started almost exactly 5 years ago because it started around October or November in 2004. We had just been introduced to Red versus Blue, done by the folks of Rooster Teeth, by a coworker. And Adam and I and Paul usually like to do stupid little films, you know, where we get in front of the camera and act really stupid, but we're really horrible actors, you know, like we have no facial expression acting at all. So it's always really horrible looking. So when we saw Red versus Blue, we thought, dude, this is something we can do because our faces are always just the computer. We don't have to worry about, like, our own facial expressions. So we decided to, during a safety meeting, let's start hammering out ideas of, like, a machinima that we want to do. And at this point, we didn't even have Neverwinter Nights in mind as the tool set we were going to use. We just wanted to, like, start throwing around ideas, what we could do, you know, like, what, you know, just an assortment of games we were going through in our heads. But we knew we didn't want to do Halo because at that time, everyone and their mother was doing machinima using Halo. So we were, at the time, I was also wanting to basically build my own world. So I empathize with you, Kat, and understand the pain of, you know, making a world. And I was doing like the code and the text and stuff, and I realized, you know, this is really, really complicated. But then I started thinking, you know what? You know, I have this whole city I've just made. I've got people all over the city. Why don't we use this for our machinima? So that's basically how we came up with the idea of using Neverwinter Nights. Because, I mean, you can create your own city. You can create all the characters you want. You can customize how they look. You can customize their weapons, customize their armor, customize their features, everything. So this was the perfect thing. And unlike Halo, this game actually also had emotes. So, I mean, it was basically a miniaturized Hollywood that we were able to use. So, I mean, that's why we came up with using Neverwinter Nights. And we thought, you know, everything that we were going to do was going to sort of parody, if you're familiar with Dungeon Magazine from Wizards of the Coast.
Yeah.
They have a basic, when you write and ask for a submission, they give you a guideline and says, here's five things you cannot write about. Don't write about going to slay a dragon. Don't write about going to save a damsel in distress. Do not write about going to put together an artifact. And we thought, there's our first three seasons right there. We're basically going to spoof everything you're not supposed to do. So that's what we did. And that's how we started planning out our first season.
But, absolutely amazing.
Did they say that you couldn't have salt that tastes like pepper?
They didn't specify that, but I think it was somewhere in the fine print. So during the safety meeting, as far as we got was about 5 episodes. And we were like, I don't, you know, hey, it was like a 2-hour safety meeting.
So at the end of that safety meeting, did you hold your hand up and go, no, could you like continue on for a while?
Yeah.
Because just keep going. We've only gotten to episode 5 over here.
I need a little more time. But I couldn't even tell you what that safety meeting was about now. I have no idea. Because, like, Adam and I just started scribbling ideas down and passing them back and forth, going, dude, look at this. And we just started rolling. We came up with, like, general ideas, and we basically hammered out the first 5 episodes. And we're like, let's just stop there. We're a little excited here. We don't even know if we're going to carry through with this, because we're notorious for coming up with all these, in our heads, great ideas and never carrying through with it all the way. So we decided, let's just do 5 episodes. Let's just stick with that and see where we go. So we did 5 episodes, and at the end of the 5th episode, and I'm telling you, I will warn everyone who's not watched it yet, the first couple of episodes are painful. They are so painful to watch. Like, acting is horrible, the writing is horrible, the camera's static. There's not even hardly any use of the emotes that we were so happy to use. So get past,
we're okay.
You know, get past the first 5 episodes, and I promise it gets better for everyone who might be watching it now. Who's never heard of us before this podcast, get past the first 5.
I remember we started the podcast up in 2006. I think we mentioned you guys in one of the earlier episodes as part of our news.
You should have told me.
I think we did. I can't remember. But I do remember, I think, watching the first few episodes a long time ago.
I think I
and
did,
thinking,
too.
Yeah. God, it's awful.
No, I thought it was pretty funny. I'm easy. I'm not a horrible critic. I thought they were pretty funny because, you know, it's something I can't do.
Well, and that was the thing. Like, we weren't sure we could do it. And, like, when we saw the first 2 episodes, we're like, we're really going to mess up whatever good name we have.
Well, congratulations on your birthday, then.
Thank you.
You've managed to make it past through at least episode 6 and maybe all the way up to episode 42.
And
so somewhere in there, you've done something right.
Yeah. Well, I think part of it had to do with, like, after the 5th episode, we're still kind of iffy, like, you know, should we continue it? You know, I really don't know. But then out of nowhere, and I have no idea how they found us, PC Gamer from the UK got a hold of us and said, hey, we want to do an article on you. And I was like, what?
Wow.
Us? So we wrote him back and forth, got in contact with a gentleman by the name of Mark, and basically laid out how it would work, and they did like a little write-up on us. And Adam and I decided to do like just a little special for the magazine itself, because they took the first 5 episodes and put it on the DVD with the magazine. So we did like a little episode that talks about us going across the pond, which is a reference to the UK, whatever. So we put that on there also, and it actually did fairly well. Like, suddenly, like, our downloads spiked because of the UK exposure we got. So that was actually really cool.
That's awesome.
I think that's what really kicked us in the butt and said, you know, maybe we should keep doing a few more. And then once we got the magazine and I saw it was real, you know, we were in there, and I was like, it really actually just happened. I actually went to BioWare's website, and this is what you call determination. I looked up every email address I could find from sales, customer service, everything. And I wrote them and said, hey, look, here's what we do. We were just mentioning PC Gamer UK. I just want to let you guys know, because you don't know if you're going to get in trouble with copyright or anything like that.
Right.
And I was also hoping to get noticed by him, because at the time, Jay, and I can never pronounce his last name, Wadamick, I believe it is. He used to be the community manager back then.
Right.
He got a hold of me and said, hey, we watched what you did and we really liked it, which impressed me, because at that time we were only on episode 6. That means they watched the first 5 and still thought they were impressed. So then they did an interview with us, I think, in March of 2005. And there's an actual interview on the BioWare website with us on there.
I remember that. And I think that's actually what prompted me to start to go look you up and see what you guys were all doing.
Yeah.
That was about the time I was just starting to play Neverwinter Nights in 2005.
See, and I mean, at that point, you know when BioWare interviews you over a machinima that you're doing? At that point, you pretty much decide, we're going to effing do this to the end. And so that was
cool.
That was the final kick in the butt that we needed.
Well, you know, there are those out there, including your humble dragon, who doesn't know exactly what machinima is. So could you, like, explain it in syllables of letter or in words of small syllables and for
really
me?
Really small syllables.
Yes, really small syllables, because dragons are kind of slow to catch on, you know.
The idea of machinima is basically where you take a pre-rendered environment and film within it and capture it, film it, do whatever you need to, edit it, and either cut it to audio or subtitle or music are the most common ones. Or, like what I like to say, is basically you take someone else's hard work, jump into a game, record what you want, and make your own video out of it. So that way you don't really have a lot of hard work. You know, they've done all the rendering of the environment and all that other wonderful stuff. You just film in there with your little guy moving around and put your funny little dialogue, and you now have machinima.
Oh, well, cool. Well, those were very nice, small words with easy, you know, with short syllables. And I actually understood that.
I think I sense sarcasm.
No. Dragons are never sarcastic.
It's a dragon trying to be funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
And actually, most of the games out there most of the gamers create machinima out of all the games that we play. We used to play Battlefield 2.
Yes.
And there's all kinds of machinima on that game as well.
Yeah, and now, I mean, World of Warcraft, almost any game there now has machinima. And the thing is, probably the best game now to make machinima with is Halo 3.
Because, oh, really?
Yeah, they've actually got it, so they have a replay mode on Xbox Live, so you can film what you're doing and basically go back after it's done and then move the camera around the whole thing and pause the camera, shift the camera around the whole thing. So you can basically keep one person in one position and, you know, film them from one side and then flip the camera around and not have to worry about any of the scenery moving or the person moving, which is a problem we have with Neverwinter Nights. Because if we jump the camera to another person, the entire scenery changes because we can't duplicate that camera angle again.
Oh, I see.
Whereas with the Halo 3, it's basically a free roaming cam. You can, you know, film right above the person, you know, like 500 feet up in the air or right on their, you know, face, whatever. It doesn't matter. So it's amazing what you can do with Halo 3 now.
Now, as far as I know, you guys are the only ones that are using Neverwinter Nights for machinima, right?
We were the first, well, technically the second ones. The first one was these guys who did, it was basically based off the Buffy Angel universe by Joss Whedon. It's called Consanguinity, I believe, Consanguinity. But they didn't do any audio at all. Everything was subtitled. So at the time, they were the only other ones out, but they didn't do any audio. And we're like, oh, you know, you have great potential. Do some audio with it. And that's why we did it. And then shortly after us, there was a guy by the name of Hugh Hancock who's been working, you know, at this point. He'd been working on a machinima called Bloodspell. And it's an epic, like, two-hour movie that he did using the Neverwinter Nights machinima and a ton of mods. Like, he's actually got lip-syncing and, you know, like, blood splatter and stuff like that. But, you know, since ours are just quick episodes, it was a lot quicker for us to produce it. So we actually got ours out before Hugh did, because, you know, his was like this two-hour movie, which I think you can still see if you look for Bloodspell or Strange Company on Google. It should be able to pull it up.
Interesting.
Yeah, I would recommend checking it out. They did a lot of hard work.
Tell us a little bit about the people that you guys voice, the characters in the videos, I guess the cast.
Okay. So the thing with the cast is a lot of the people who are in it, there's a lot of personal jokes that are associated with the character that we bring in, like Poppy the Saltbender. While it seems like salt is a random thing to sell, it's actually a nod to Poppy because she in real life will put salt on anything. And I don't mean little amounts. I'm not talking little amounts. We're talking like she's just chugging the salt, like she takes a drink and then just downs the salt. So that was like just a little thing about her, you know. So that's why you put in there salt. And eventually, you know, that joke actually ended up taking off when we introduced her later and started coming up with all these different ideas of different salt, like the pepper flavored salt. And then let's see, there's also like Chad, who did the voice of Alan the Astounding. The whole thing with his drunk thing actually has to do with a time that we had all gone on a cruise, and he had foolishly tried to outdrink me and paid for it when we all got up to walk and leave. He was walking ahead of all of us and literally in mid-stride just passed out. He just fell forward. No hands out, nothing. He just ate the floor. And we were like laughing and laughing, but he didn't move. And we started to panic, and then we all looked, and he was okay. You know, his nose was a little bloody. But, I mean, that's where that comes from. We basically, we all laughed so hard that night, because the next day, I don't know if we should share the story. It's kind of gross, but it's funny to me, mostly because I like to make fun of Chad. But the next day, we all met up, you know, on the ship to have breakfast. And the ship was docked or anchored out in the ocean, so it's rocking back and forth. And Chad walks out, and he's green in the face. He is just green in the face. And I'm like, dude, are you all right? He's like, I do not feel good. And I was like, you don't look good. So he got up to go to the restroom to basically throw up and didn't make it. He made it to basically where the soda machine was and threw up into the trash can where everyone could see him. He was utterly mortified. I fell on the ground laughing. Because that's the kind of good friend needs, I am.
And everybody needs a friend like you.
Exactly. And then let's see. We also have my wife, Amy, who is the armor vendor. And that joke comes from basically she is probably the best shopper you will ever know. Like she gets all kinds of discounts and she finds all kinds of deals all the time. And it's because of her, like I've been able to go to Hawaii, to New Orleans. And even though we're flat broke, she finds like amazing deals. So we did like a little joke about her shopping, and that's why she's the armor vendor.
Oh, well, that's cute. I like it.
Yeah. And then Sean, who did the weapons in the next episode after that, he was actually a replacement for another friend of ours by the name of Chris. But we had like a huge fallout with Chris and ended up just replacing him because he was causing like a lot of problems with the contracts and stuff that we had. And so we ended up having our friend Sean basically replace him on that one. And then there's also Paul, who's been like a good friend of Adam and I for like ever and a day. And that's why he's actually the third member later on that joins the party and goes through the rest of the series with us. And
Paul the Dwarf?
Yeah, Paul the Dwarf. And the reason for that is in every game he plays, if there's a dwarf option, he plays it. Whether it's D&D, EverQuest, World of Warcraft, it doesn't matter. He'll play a dwarf. Doesn't not matter. It's always a dwarf. So that's why we made him a dwarf, because it was logical that he would obviously play a dwarf within Neverwinter Nights. And the ridiculous accent he has actually has a story as well. There was one day that we were watching the news, and I had imitated basically the Mexican accent, and Paul was laughing, and he tried to do the same thing, but then it sounded Indian. Like, he was like, oh, yes, that's very fine. And we were all laughing like, dude, that's not even Mexican. That's Indian. So when we decided to give him the accent, we said, you know what? Just come up with the most messed up Scottish pirate mixture accent you could come up with and make it over the top, like, dwarf sounding. And so that's why he has that really, really, really ridiculous accent. And then, of course, in season two, we brought in Travis, who does our music, as the surprise mysterious figure that you see throughout season two, whose real identity is revealed at the end.
I was watching the episodes, and Andrea?
Yes.
The assassin?
Yes.
So I'm sitting there. The first time I think she came in one of the episodes, I was like, okay, I can tell she's reading. but then I got thinking, well, maybe that's the way that they wanted her to act that way, because later it just, I guess because she was so evil.
Yeah, she's the whole thing with her is you get Peter and Grayson, who, as you can see, are complete idiots throughout the whole series. I mean, they're completely clueless, And the thing with Andrea is she's actually very, very smart. She's very, very logical. So she's a complete contrast. And yet,
right.
Because Peter and Grayson are so dumb and they actually sometimes bypass what she plans to do, she actually mistakes them for being extremely smart. So, you know, there's a whole thing like she's like, I can't believe they got past that trap. And it's not because they were smart and did it. They just got lost and went the other way and bypassed the trap completely.
I guess maybe it was her lack of emotion, I guess.
Yeah.
That comes through.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Which I guess is what y'all wanted.
Yeah, she's supposed to be very, very cold, like doesn't right. care cold. About anything other than getting that sword back.
Right.
Well, you know, there are very few assassins who are, you know.
Touchy-feely?
Touchy-feely, yeah. There's usually, you know, something there that says, I think I'll just stay remote and cold and...
See, and that was actually with bringing up with Andrea's voice is that was something we tried to show, I believe, in episode 19 when she first encounters Daniel. She's very standoff towards him. She's like, what do you want? Leave me alone. Go away.
Right.
And then she goes and speaks to her quote-unquote mother who says, you know, find this guy named Daniel the Destructive. And she's like, okay, well, I know who he is. And, you know, the mom's like, or the mother's like, go and join, get him to join you. So she goes over there and suddenly she's a lot more compassionate towards him. You know, she's like,
right.
Oh, I'm sorry. You know, I'm stressed out about this whole boat trip. So we tried to show that, you know, she will show emotion when it suits her.
Right.
Now that you've talked about the characterization on Andrea, who comes up with the storyline that you're going to produce? Do you all sit around and just toss ideas back and forth, or is there somebody who actually sits down and writes a script out? What do you all do?
Well, usually it starts with a heavy amount of drinking first.
Always a good start.
And salt.
And salt. That tastes like pepper. But usually, like I said, what we did is we took the those concepts from Dungeon Magazine that said, don't write modules about this, this, and this. And so we basically had an idea of what we wanted to do. We said, you know, from point A to point B for the first season, they're going to have to go through a whole mess of stuff and then get to a dragon. The dragon's basically going to say, well, you know, you came really far, but I'm a good dragon. Here's what you want to do. Go rescue a maiden in distress. That'll make you a hero. And then so for season two, you find out, oh, well, now they have to go rescue a maiden in distress who turns out to be Andrea because you find out she's not really as evil as she seems to be. There's a reason for the way she is. And then the third season was going to be about finding a lost artifact, which won't go too much into since I'm actually writing that one right now. But basically, we just basically sit around and we hammer out ideas of what we want to do. We think of a bunch of stupid jokes that we could fit in, you know, that often have to do with D&D or Dungeons & Dragons or gaming in general. And we see how we can fit those somehow into an episode and sometimes base it off a single joke. Like, I believe the third episode is about that campfire. Like, that whole thing was about – that whole thing, episode's basically rooted from the idea of them having a campfire, walking around to try to get, you know, where they're trying to go, and ending up back at the same campfire. So that whole episode was based – we said, we need a joke about a campfire. They come back to it. And then we just started writing back and forth. And that's what we usually do. Adam and I will bounce the script back and forth in email. And we, you know, we'll take stuff in, add stuff, you know, change stuff, and then when we're both like, yeah, that's good, then we'll go forward. So we do all of our own writing. And I think sometimes it shows.
No, what it shows is that you all are having fun doing it.
Yeah,
Yeah, that's what makes it special, is that you can tell there's the camaraderie there.
Most definitely. When we started this, I would have never thought all the things that have happened to us since then would have even happened. And that is all bonus because it's been so fun. Usually when we get together and start recording, that's when the real fun comes out. Like the writing is fun because, you know, we're like, all right, then, you know, we're doing all this great stuff with these characters. But when we get in that recording booth and start recording and we start messing up and we start razzing each other relentlessly and we can't recover and we start messing up on the same line over and over and over again, that's when it's fun.
That's a great. And are you ever going to put those outtakes out?
Yes. So what was supposed to happen is the season 2 DVD, because we did a season 1 DVD for anyone who sponsored us, they could get it. And we were going to do a season 2 DVD that was going to be a double DVD set and have all kinds of outtakes and bonus stuff. Like for season 2, I recorded everyone standing in the in the recording office, basically reading their lines. And we're going to put everything onto a second DVD and make a big, huge bonus DVD. Unfortunately, my external hard drive took a crash. And a lot of it was lost.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
That's sad.
You want to talk about a guy who was screaming and cussing and
I can't even, I don't know, Travis, could you put that ranting and raving and screaming to music?
It depends, you know, if I get my sugar and caffeine or not.
Ah.
And Travis is being modest because he knows he can do it because he's a talented guy. I will tell him.
Speaking of Travis, why don't you tell us how he joined in to the show and kind of a little bit about what he does.
Well, you know what? Since I've been talking so much, I'll let Travis talk about how he came upon us and how we invited him in. Travis, your turn to babble since I've done so much of it.
all right. Well, it's been so long, I guess. I mean, I was back. I was playing on a Persistent World long time ago. I mean, this was back way before Neverwinter Nights 2, and it was actually even before before any of the Neverwinter Nights 1 expansion packs, maybe even around the time they came out. I was playing, and it was the Silver March's Persistent World, and on the forum, somebody posted the link to the Neverending Nights, so I decided to check it out and look into it, because it sounded funny, and I had played Dungeons & Dragons my entire life, and I just immediately was hooked. And so I approached Thomas and I asked him if you know I could write some music for him, and then he threw me in his dungeon and he now feeds me sporadically
and he's never been allowed out since.
Yeah, basically.
Cool. So, Travis, what are some of your favorite characters or episodes of the show?
Oh, you gotta love the Kicks Rocks episodes. I mean, that's the best, the highlight of everything that's ever come out, in my opinion. That. And there's this one character. I mean, he's so dark and mysterious, he's so amazing. I absolutely love him. I don't know his name yet, but I just
and that's
think
the
amazing.
Funny part. He doesn't.
Would that be the dark and mysterious character?
Yeah, that guy.
So. I was rolling in the floor when you introduced the salt that tastes like pepper in episode 20.
And what's so funny is like when we did that, we were like completely messing around. Like we were literally sitting at a table and there was a salt shaker and a pepper shaker. And we're like, dude, salt that tastes like pepper. And we're like, yes, put it in there. And it was like so completely spontaneous because we were sitting there just looking at salt and pepper shaker and like, hello, it's talking to us. This is what we have to do.
And then the Kicks Rocks. So, tell us how that came about.
So that is actually a rather awesome story. Paul and I used to work together at a company called Cox Communication. We used to do their tech support. And
really?
Yeah. Trust me, I've heard all the Cox jokes you can come up with.
I just switched from Cox.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to break out with one of the Cox jokes.
No.
But so we were in the car with our friend Sarah, who was driving, and I cannot even remember what we were talking about, but right when she had meant to say basically that kicks ass and that rocks, she had taken a sharp turn and basically for whatever reason blurted, that kicks rocks. And like Paul and I were in the car, we're like, what? And she's like, I don't know what I just said. We're like, you just said that kicks rocks. What does that mean? She's like, I don't even know. I was like, that's kind of cool. You know, that kicks rocks. You know, it's kind of like that kicks ass, that rocks. And she's like, I think that's what I meant to say. And so we threw it in there.
That's almost how y'all did it in the show.
Yeah.
Somebody goes, that kicks rocks. And he goes,
what? And so the funny thing is, you hear how Grayson hates that saying, and you'll hear how Albert the goblin hates that saying, who's played by Adam. Adam actually really hates that saying, so there's not a lot of acting in there when Adam says, I can't stand that saying. And the best part is how well it took off. Like, when we posted it around, everyone was like, dude, these episodes kick rocks. Adam was pulling out what little hair he had left, going, I cannot believe that saying actually took off.
That's interesting. So has anything else in the shows taken off when you didn't think it would? Like that?
That Kicks Rocks is probably the biggest thing that took off from the series. I mean, we – and I think it's mostly thanks to the goblins, because, I mean, there's something funny about when a chipmunk says that kicks rocks, or, you know, just anything that sounds like that. Chipmunk sound is kind of funny. So I think once that goblin episode – because Peter says it a few times before that episode ever came out. But it was once that episode came out with the goblins, like, suddenly everyone's like, dude, this kicks rocks. Really? Peter said it like six episodes ago and no one cared. These little goblins say it and now it's funny. So
that's hilarious. Now, I guess another one would be Defiant Lost, right?
That's actually, yeah. You know, that's actually our slogan too. Yeah. We use that for our slogan where Grayson will say, we're lost. And Peter will say something like, Defiant Lost. So that's actually a slogan we have on our stickers. We have a couple of stickers that we've passed out and stuff, and it says neverendingnights.com, define lost. And we have another one that we made a spoof of the Got Milk sticker that says got lost with a question mark and then neverendingnights.com below it.
Okay, well, that's cute.
Yeah, and so the thing that I've wondered, though, with that sticker, the one that says got lost, I wonder how many people back then that show Lost was really, really popular. So I wonder how many people thought that was a reference to the show and actually went to the website and was like, this has nothing to do with the show.
Oh, so maybe that's how you get all the hits.
That's how we get all the hits. You have to trick them, you know? You have to trick them.
Damn, that's where funny. I'm making my mistake.
When you don't have the actual talent, you trick people to come to your website.
Oh.
That's kind of what we've been doing. The one or two that listen to us.
Now, we're up to three.
Yeah. I mean, and now I'm listening to you guys all the time now. Ever since Travis told me about you guys, I've been like, this is awesome.
One of the things that, as a builder, I know how hard it is to even get the emotes to line up correctly. How do you actually sync up the voice acting with the in-game acting?
So first it starts with a lot of drinking.
Wait a minute, I've heard that before.
Yeah, I think I'm seeing a theme here.
I don't think so. Maybe that's our problem, Trey.
Maybe it is.
Start with drinking.
Well, Skunk usually does that.
Oh, okay.
Well, so to line up the emotes and the dialogue, originally Adam used to do the filming, and then he'd basically take it, burn it to a DVD, and give it to me to edit it. And I think that's why in the earlier episodes there wasn't a lot of use of emotes, because Adam would film it how he thought it would be, and then I would take it, and I'd be like, ah, you know, a lot of these scenes don't work, how it would fit with the dialogue and stuff. So what I ended up doing at that point is almost every piece of dialogue I film independently. So that way if I need Peter to, you know, do a cheer while he's saying something, I will film that in order of the script, you know. So, like, first, if it's Grayson looking disappointed that they're lost again, I'll do the tired emote so Grayson kind of bends down. And then I'll stop the camera. And then, like, if the next one's, like, Peter saying, but we'll be all right, and he's cheering, I'll then record that one separately. So each emote is now recorded separately how I need it to be. So it takes a long time. But I think it helped improve how the emotes carry over in the series. You know, it looks a lot more animated now.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's actually a lot of logic there. Were you drinking when you came up with that plan?
I probably was, because I was probably trying to drink and figure out how to edit some of the stuff that Adam had given me, and I was like, this isn't working. I need to film it myself.
Okay, I'm going to throw a question in here.
Sure.
Travis, this is for Travis. So how do they let you know exactly what kind of music they need for the different parts of the episodes?
Well, usually I start bugging them when the episode's not coming out. I usually say, so what should I be writing here? What kind of style should I write? And, you know, I keep bugging them to, and hopefully it makes it so the episode comes out. And that's usually how I get the ideas, and I just compose randomly.
Yeah. And he's not kidding.
Okay.
Travis, do you start composing by drinking?
Well, it depends on what you're saying. If it's caffeine, then yeah, and sugar. But
because that's all we give him.
Right. Oh, so what are you saving the hard stuff for?
I save and give to them. You know, I don't drink.
Ah.
Right. I'm a good boy for the most part.
For the most part.
And I'm in college, too, so that's
you can't afford to drink.
Exactly.
So, hey, I noticed on the YouTube channel, because you guys have a YouTube channel, that episode 24 was viewed like over 4,000 times, like four times as many as all the others. You're laughing. Why is that? Was that about the time that the UK?
With 20, because the UK camera was five. Our UK was
Oh, that's right. That's right. I'm sorry.
Oh,
that's
no,
right.
No. You know, the only thing I can think is at some point we must have been doing something.
You were drunk one night and just started clicking on it?
I must have fallen asleep on the refresh button and just kept refreshing over and over and over. Dang, F5 key. No, the only thing I can think is at some point we must have been doing something for either Atari or something. Because that was right at the beginning of season two. So I think it might have been something that we did with Atari with Neverwinter Nights 2 or something. Because other than that, I cannot tell you why that episode was viewed 4,000 times. I have no idea why.
So what you're saying is that if you were doing something for Atari, then you guys are like making big bucks. Is that true?
Oh, God, how I wish it was true.
Yeah, where's my money?
Yeah. See, this is why we don't tell Travis that we're making money.
Oh, sorry.
Now, unfortunately, we don't make any money off of this. Despite the work we do for Atari and everything like that, the only thing we get are the cool prompts of like free game, backstage passes to E3 and stuff like that. We don't actually
get money.
Well, that's what Trey keeps telling me as well.
Is it working?
So far.
So far it's working. Hey, I want those backstage passes, Trey, so cough them up.
Let me tell you, when we did the thing for Atari and we met them at E3 and we were given the backstage pass, what you see back there is completely amazing. Like, you're looking at the front of the you know, the whole Atari display, and they've got this whole section quartered off that you can't get to. When we went back there, there's a whole tropical theme. Like, they had palm trees with like lights and like coconuts and like little people walking around with like drinks on a tray. It was like we walked into from like, you know, Geekville, which, you know, we are, admittedly.
Fantasy Island.
Yeah, into Fantasy Island. I was expecting like a little guy going, "Welcome to Atari." You know, it was really weird. It was
completely... The plane.
The people.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, so it was completely different when we went back there.
And well, maybe we should have done what you did, is send all those emails to everybody we could think of.
There's something to be said for determination. I am not kidding.
Yeah.
Because like after the whole thing with BioWare that we got interviewed with them, also in 2005 we got nominated for the 2005 Machinima Film Festival that Adam and I flew out to be in New York City. And then like after that, we got the attention from Atari, and then Hugh, who does the Bloodspell Machinima that I mentioned earlier, he did a book called Machinima for Dummies, and we have a mention in that as well. So there's something to be said about determination.
Yeah, one of those nice little perks that doesn't put anything other than beans on the table, but makes your heart sing.
I guess we did get to do something similar to that, although I didn't personally get to do it. We did. One of our team, Michelle, they flew her out to L.A. for the opening of Mysteries of Westgate, which didn't open.
Oh.
Anyway. And you'll get to hear about all that in some of the episodes if you listen, if you go back and see some of them and listen to them.
I'm backtracking. I think that's one of the it's one of the great things with BioWare. They're very, very supportive of their community. I mean, I have found BioWare to be probably the most supportive company of their community. Like, when we mentioned NeverEnding Nights to them, I mean, the first thing I thought was they're going to give us a cease and desist because, you know, we're using copyrighted material from their game. And they were like, no, this is great. Let's do an interview. Let's get you more attention. I was like, what? You know, it was alarming to me because I was not expecting that reaction.
And that's kind of what we did. The first episode, we actually called, his name was Ryan Rzuski, I guess, at the time with Obsidian.
Obsidian, yeah.
Yeah.
I actually got to meet Ryan.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Yep.
And so he got us an interview with Annie Carlson, and that was our first episode.
Nice.
Yeah.
Determination. Cool.
Speaking of Obsidian, I remember reading in on your history page that actually they approached you to create an NWN2-based machinima?
Yes, they did. And so what happened is, and this is when I thought we were really in trouble, because we had just opened up sponsorship, where if you donate $10 to our website.
Honey, there's somebody from Obsidian wanting to talk to you on the phone?
That's what it was like.
Oh, crap.
Change the page. Because it was, I kid you not, it was within 2 days maybe that we put up the sponsorship page and said, if you donate $10, you'll get to see the episodes 1 week early in the super secret section of the forum. And like 2 days later, Maverick Shane signs up to our forum. And I'm like, Maverick Shane, I know that name. Where do I know that name? And so I Googled Maverick Shane and bam, BioWare comes up. I'm all, maybe he's just a user. So I go to the site and it's like community manager. And I'm like, this Uh-oh. Is not good. So Maverick ended up writing me an email and saying, hey, you know, I've seen what you guys have done with Neverwinter Nights, heard what you've done with the PC Gamer, blah, 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 blah.
We're going to have to kill you now.
Yeah, we have to kill you now. Yeah. Oh, that sucks. We're not done with season two, though. Give it just a few more days. But he wrote us an email and said, hey, you know, we really like what you did, and we'd like you to do promos for Neverwinter Nights 2. And I was like, okay, seriously? This is someone yanking my leg. There's no way this is Maverick Shane. Someone is yanking my leg at this point because, you know, we've been entirely too lucky at this point with PC Gamer, BioWare's interview, the Machinima Film Festival. We're like, someone is yanking our leg. So I actually went to the BioWare website and wrote him on there and said, hey, I noticed you signed up for our page, da-da-da-da-da. And I actually asked him on the BioWare website. And he's like, yeah, that was me, da-da-da. I was like, oh, crap. So you really want us to do something? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, I would be honored. But I was like, how's that going to work? You know, you guys going to send us like betas and stuff like that? And he's like, well, you're in San Diego, right? Yeah. And he's like, why don't you go to Obsidian's office or right up in Los Angeles and meet with them? And I was like, yeah, okay. You know, you don't have to tell me that twice. So we ended up meeting Ryan and a few other people. And we went up to Obsidian and met him up there. And they gave us like a tour of the place. You know, you had to do the whole non-disclosure thing with the forms and all that. Mm-hmm. But they let us basically play on the tool set for like almost 2 hours. And, you know, this is when it was basically still like almost pre-beta version. They're like, you know, do this, you know, try that. You know, here's everything you can do. You know, just have at it. And I was like a kid in a candy store. Like I was like, you know, you click on the land and pull it up. And I was like, oh, this is so much better than the first Neverwinter Nights tool set. Because before when you wanted to raise the land, you went click and it was just one size. You know, you got this little bam piece of land that was raised up with the NWN tool set. I mean, you can just, you know, make waves of land, you know, change how high it is, how wide it is. I was like, this is incredible. And he's like, check this out. And, you know, he had changed the size of like a cat. I was like, oh, that is insane. And so we sat down, like, you know, just started sitting down just various things and just messing with it. And I put down a house and I stretched out the house. And I was like, you can even stretch out the houses. And he's like, oh, yeah. And I was like, can you stretch out doors? And what was funny is the guy, I wish I could remember his name, says, you know what? I don't even know. So we took it and stretched out the door. And I was like, you can stretch out the door. So I was just in awe of what you could do with it. So that's how we basically got in with them, and they had sent us like all these basically beta copies of the software and said, have at it. The most difficult part, I think, was there was no DM jump tool with the tool set. So we couldn't jump. Well, the way we do it with Neverwinter Nights 1 is we would jump, like, you know, DM jump Peter and then make him do the emotes and I'll film it. And then, you know, DM jump over to Grayson and make Grayson do the emotes. And that's how we would do it. But with Neverwinter Nights 2, there was no DM jump. So we're like, well, this is going to be a little bit more difficult. We basically had to make player characters and log them in and have them sit there and then have the player characters. We'd have to log out, you know, save it there, log out, everyone run back, you know, move your character around because we only had like two copies of the game.
Yeah.
And then I think on the third episode, Ryan, I believe it was, sent me a script and said, run this. And it's sort of a DM jump tool, but it's more used for debugging. And I was like, okay. So I did that, but it wasn't like a free camera. So we had to basically stick a halfling in the background. And from time to time, if you look at some of the Never Ending Days episodes, you can see a halfling standing way in the background or standing like behind a rock, just like a ninja. You know, he's just standing there like, hi. And he was our actual camera while we were moving the other characters.
Is that where the chicken cam thing came around? Wasn't there something with the chicken?
The chicken cam was the first season. When we first started to do Neverwinter Nights, we weren't too familiar with the tool set at the time with the whole DM jump thing. So we were trying to find a way to zoom in all the way and basically get a first-person shot, but you couldn't. So we're like, well, let's try a few different things. And we tried to actually film as a chicken. And basically, the chicken was the best camera we had because you could barely see the top of the chicken head. So in the first couple of beta episodes that we did, it was done with a chicken cam where you can barely see the top of the chicken head. And then I had gone on the forum and said, is there any way to basically make a cameraman that you can't see? Because the chicken cam's not really working out for me because I'm noticing the chicken head at the middle of the screen down at the bottom. And a guy by the name of Natriac said, here's a script. It turns someone completely invisible. And that's from then on, that's how we started doing it. But yeah, for a while, we were actually using a chicken cam with the first couple of episodes that we filmed. And then we're like, okay, let's scrap this and let's actually redo it with the invisible cameraman now.
Okay, now everybody's going to go back and watch those first 12 episodes.
Oh, no, that's what I'm saying. They were redone. We never released the chicken cam episodes.
Oh, darn.
I still have.
That'll be on the bonus CD.
Yeah, or the DVD, chicken head. And the thing that was so frustrating is, like, you know, it was working for a while, but then you'd see the chicken head, like, start to peck at the ground, and it became very noticeable that this little thing was going click, 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 click onto the ground, and we're like, that's got to stop. That's not going to work.
Don't you just hate it when the chickens don't cooperate?
I know. It just starts eating. It's like, hello, you're a camera. Stop eating. Come on now.
Yeah, Never Ending Days is NWN2 based.
Correct.
And then Never Ending Nights is NWN1.
Correct.
Now, I haven't been able to find Never Ending Days on your website. Where is that on your website?
So the original reason for that is when we did Never Ending Days is the only way to get the episodes originally is you had to go to the Atari website, register, and then you'd be able to download the episodes because they were only Atari exclusives. But I had recently actually moved them onto our site. And if you search the forum just for the word Days, D-A-Z-E, you'll find the link. And eventually I'm actually going to put them all up onto the Never Ending Nights channel. I just haven't got to it yet.
Okay, cool. So what's ahead for Never Ending Nights? Anything y'all can tell us about? Is there going to be a season 3?
Yes. So despite the year and a half break we took, there is actually a season 3 in the works right now. We took a big break, mostly because by the end of season 2, I was pushing myself pretty hard because at this point, like Adam had relinquished basically filming and all that, which is the one thing that he did. He did the filming and we shared the writing. But by season 2, like about 3 episodes in, I took over basically all the filming, all the writing, all the audio editing and everything like that. So by the time I had reached the end of season 2, I was burnt. Like, I was burned out. I was like, I just need a break.
Been there, done that.
Yeah. You know, it happens. I love doing Never Ending Nights. Like I said, it's really fun when everyone gets together. But the process of all that filming, editing, audio, film, it burnt me out by the time I've reached the end of season two.
And nobody's paying you.
Exactly. Exactly.
and so you're supporting a full-time job as well, right?
As well. Like when I come home back then, I would just basically start filming and editing, like as soon as I got home. And I work with computers on my 9-to-5 job.
just think of the hours and hours people spent laughing, though.
And that's it. Like I think we could quote unquote be funnier if we went more for like the toilet type humor and, you know, made it more gutter. But that's not usually the humor that Adam and I go for.
Well, so that's good, because that probably wouldn't have kept me if you did.
Yeah, and that's the thing. We wrote to make ourselves laugh. You know, we're like, this is funny to me. Pepper flavored salt. This cracks me up. It might not make anyone else in the world laugh, but I'm going to have a good time saying this line that I am eating pepper or salt.
I had to pause that episode. I was laughing so hard. I'm serious.
So, I mean, we definitely write for ourselves, you know, and if there's anyone else next to us who happens to laugh with us, all the better. But, you know, we're not going to basically write to be what's popular or overly funny. We're just writing just because we're having a good time doing it. So, and that's why I can't wait to get back into finishing season three and, you know, start actually doing the filming and the acting again, because a year and a half is a long break.
Yeah, I'm actually still bugging him with asking him what kind of music I need. Been bugging him.
So you just started releasing it on the vault, didn't
yeah.
you?
Yeah. You know, well.
That was going to be my next question was, Travis, if you were working on any new stuff for season three.
Of course.
And I guess the stuff that you've been releasing on the vault lately, is that going to be used for Never Ending Nights? Or
if he wants
or
to.
Or were you doing that?
Okay. I'd prefer actually to write completely new stuff and leave it very Never Ending Nights only, and that stuff on the vault is for everyone else.
Cool. Well, hey, 2010's coming up here pretty soon. We're probably gonna need some new music.
Oh yeah, you gotta break hint, me out hint, of this, hint. You gotta break me out of this dungeon first, you know.
Oh, okay.
Well, no. I'll just slip down the stairs ever so quietly. No one will notice a dragon slipping down the stairs, but I'll bring you goodies and treats, and try to make things, you know, even more plush for you, as no one notices the dragon sneaking.
Yeah, you'll notice her when she's not a dragon. She's a sexy redhead.
Well, I'm sold. As long as I have Dr. Pepper, I'm happy.
Dr. Pepper, sugar. Well, you get a caffeine. No, you don't get caffeine with Dr. Pepper, do you?
Yeah, you do.
Do you?
Yeah, you do.
Okay.
Yeah, you do. Well, guys, thanks for joining us. Any parting words y'all would like to leave with the listeners before we sign off?
No, the only other thing I was going to say that had to do with Travis was about season three. The plan that we were going to do is I'm basically going to just give him a list of what I need for types of music, like just general mood. And so each episode is going to have its own mood music. But then for when we do the DVD, I'm basically going to cut the whole thing together, give it to Travis, and he's basically going to compose it as he watches it.
Oh, that'd be cool.
It'll be a film track just like they do in movies.
Oh, that's cool. That's actually fun.
Yeah, that's the nice thing about now. I mean, before I was using all this freeware software and all this stuff that, you know, I was a poor college student. So after I gathered my change, I was able to afford all this a little more expensive stuff that now the professionals use. So I'll use that for myself,
but I'm looking forward to hearing the new music. I'm looking forward to seeing season three.
Yeah.
So stop that break right now. Get back to work.
Consider it stopped.
Okay.
I wish Adam could have been able to join us. That would have been cool.
Yeah.
It was kind of a short notice, shorter than what we normally give people. two weeks is pretty short, actually.
So we appreciate you, both of you, just leaping to your feet here and going along with the flow. I know it's been fun for me, and I know it's, and Trey and I were both kind of, he sent the message that he had talked to you, and I was like, wow, I just been thinking about that last night. So we're really glad that
and
you
I go,
were able to join
I go,
us.
I go, wow, I'm thinking like a dragon now. Well, I just like to say I really enjoyed listening to all those episodes. Well, they're hilarious. All right, guys. Well, hey, we appreciate y'all coming on the show.
So get in game and level up.
Because that kicks rocks. You can always reach us via our website at neverwinternightspodcast.com or by email at show@neverwinternightspodcast.com. You can also leave an audio comment or listener hello by calling us on Skype. Just call NWN Podcast, all one word. The opinions and viewpoints expressed on the Neverwinter Nights podcast are not necessarily those of its sponsors or those of Obsidian, BioWare, Atari, their partners, or employees. The Neverwinter Nights podcast is a production of These Old Geeks, who is solely responsible for its content.
For now, I say we crack some of those kegs and drown the flagon in wine.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast is copyright 2009.
Well, so my daughter has done just as she promised. She has delivered the sword to me. However, I expected her to deliver just the sword, not the one holding it.
Well, we certainly hate to be any form of inconvenience, so if you show us the door, we'll be glad to get out of your way.
I will let you go as soon as you hand the sword over to me.
This sword? Oh, sure you can have it. All it does is tell me how horrible a hero I am, and then tries to convince me at the same time that I'm destined to be a great hero.
The sword speaks to you?
All the time.
What has it told you? Has it shown you anything?
Show me anything? Oh yeah, all the time. Usually when I sleep, it tends to apparently influence my dreams and keeps showing me the same epic battles, which I'm assuming took place previously.
Have you ever seen the man from the dreams?
I don't know. The dreams never seem to show his face.
Interesting. Well, hand over the blade and you and your companions can go.
Don't do it, Grayson.
Oh, she means to trick you, Grayson. As soon as you give her the blade, the only way you and your companions will leave this hall will be through death.
Dean, meddling in affairs that are not your concern to begin with, how surprising.
No more surprising than finding you lying and manipulating humans to your own ends, rather than doing the work yourself. You have always been a lazy one, Queen, or should I call you Mother?
There is no need for such formalities between old friends, Dean. I know what you are and you know what I am, but do not convince the boy not to surrender the blade. As you said, the only way they are escaping is through death. But if they hand over the sword, the death will be quick and painless. If they make me raise a finger, they will die 1,000 times and be reborn, only to die again for all eternity. Suffering, a new way to die each time they are reborn.
Look, lass, that don't scare me none. I think I've died enough times this season to be rather fearless when it comes to death and dying.
I'd like to point out, Mrs. Evil Queen, that Paul does not speak on our behalf and all of us. I personally have not died this season, though there have been a few close calls, like with the drill.
Peter, would you shut up?
Do not let her intimidate you, Grayson. The sword was forged specifically to put an end to her.
You want me to fight and kill a woman?
She's not what she appears to be, Grayson.
What happened to rescue the whole damsel in distress? To become heroes thing that you mentioned at the beginning of the season?
You have already done that.
I did? Who the heck did I save?
Andrea. She was walking down the path of the Dark Souls. You have managed to show her that you cared, and that she was blinded by her own hurt emotions that clouded her judgment. She was on her way to return back to her life, as it was before, in Galana.
Wait, you said to save a damsel in distress, and we would become heroes. Shouldn't have our quest ended there? Don't tell me this is going to drag into a third season.
In time, you will become heroes, thanks to saving Andrea. She will return, the haze lifted from her eyes, and speak of your greatness, about how you saved her, and the many things you overcame.
But that's all I wanted to be, was a hero. Can't I just hand this woman the blade, and we can all end this peacefully and go on our way?
Just hand over the blade, boy.
Well, Dean said not to. And, well, I am more inclined, as stupid as this may sound, being as outnumbered as I am here, to listen to him. I don't know, it just feels like I can trust him. Like I have met him before. But at the same time, I don't want to use my sword to start beating up on a woman.
I could have my Crimson Legion attack you and kill you 1,000 times over and pry that sword from your dead hands. But this has become a far more personal matter. If what Dean says about Andrea betraying me is true...
Search your feelings. You know it to be true.
Well, if you don't want to use the sword to beat up on a woman, then let me help you make up your mind.
Ah!
Grayson, she's a dragon.
Thank you, Peter. I can see that for myself.
This just keeps getting stranger and stranger, lads.
Do not worry yourself too much, Grayson. You are not without friends.
You're Dean? As in Dean the Dragon? From the city of Ator?
Yeah, I can't believe neither of us pieced that together before now.
So now, puny human, do you think you have the courage to come forward and try to strike me down with a magical blade? Or does your heart tremble so loudly in your chest that you have become deaf to my words?
Pretty much wanting to be deaf and blind at the same moment.
Tonight I will suck the marrow from your bones, human.
Not tonight. Not ever.
Dad?
Wait, so you mean to tell me that Peter and Grayson are related? They're brothers? Actually, half brothers. They share the same father, but have different mothers. Do you think the writers could plan this all along? I don't know. Those two are pretty crummy writers. I don't know what you two are talking about. Those two totally kick rock. You're right. They probably had this all planned out about after episode 10 of season 1. Wow. That's a strange twist to this tale. I think everyone's going to be angry again. Why do you say that? Because they ended the season on another cliffhanger. Well, you know, that's what keeps people coming back for more. This will undoubtedly cause the hugest internet buzz in the whole world. And with that, that's all, folks.